Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our second scripture reading comes from the epistle, the letter to the Romans, chapter 12, 1 through 8. Paul says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the extorter in extortion, that's a different scripture, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness." A lonely older man decided he wanted to get a pet, so he decided to get a pet caterpillar. He takes the pet caterpillar home and sets up a cage for him. And the next morning, the man goes to the cage and asks the caterpillar, "Hey, do you want to go get breakfast with me?" The caterpillar doesn't respond. Lunch comes around, and the man goes to the cage and asks, "Would you like to go to lunch with me?" The caterpillar still doesn't say anything, and the man just walks away. Dinner comes around, and again, the man goes and asks, "Hey, would you like to go to dinner with me?" To which the caterpillar responds, "I heard you the first time. I'm putting on my shoes." All right. This morning, I want to talk about two interesting and fascinating but very different types of God's creatures. One is the caterpillar, and the other is the chameleon. Now, the chameleons, as everyone knows, has the amazing ability to alter their appearance in order to blend into their background. They do it so well that you can't tell where the wall, the rock, the plant separates from the animal itself. On the other hand, we have the caterpillar, which has this amazing ability to morph into something beautiful, something so different from itself, a butterfly. The process makes the creature appear dead and silent for a while, but an inner transformation or metamorphosis is taking place. Paul, in our passage in Romans for this morning, makes an impassioned plea, and that is a plea for us to be one of these two animals. He wants us to be caterpillars with the ability to be butterflies, and though we tend to be, but he does not want us to be chameleons. Now, I know you're thinking, "Pastor Malcolm, I heard you read the scripture. He doesn't say anything about caterpillars or butterflies or chameleons." All right, you're right. He doesn't say these animals exactly. He uses other words. And these words are conformers, which are chameleons, or transformers, which are caterpillar butterflies. Conformers or transformers. So what does he mean by not being conformers? As he says in the passage, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Paul wants us to conform, make no doubt about that, but he wants us to conform to who? To Christ, be in the likeness of Jesus. But what he's talking about is our tendency, our inclination to conform instead to the ways of the world. As the poet William Wordsworth says it, the world is too much with us, late and soon. What does that mean? What are the patterns of the world that Paul is talking about? Well, I'm here to let you know that if you didn't know, we conform a lot. We conform a lot. Do you want an example? Oh, Kathy, we didn't even set this up. I just waved at Kathy, and what did she do? She waved back, right? She conformed to a regular greeting, and when someone waves at you, what do you do? You wave back, right? This is why with the masks and the smiling, it's a little bit hard, because we have these cultural conformities that we do that we're used to. That's a very simple example of conforming. Other examples are standing in line, right? When you're going up to the grocery and you want to check out, you stand in the line. And I know this is cultural because, having lived in China, there's no concept of lines. Everyone just kind of starts moving towards the front, and they don't have this idea of where you stand behind the person in front of you and the person in front of you. I remember kind of being upset with that at first, being, everyone's cutting in line, right? But it turns out that it was cultural, and I come from people that get into line. Other examples of conforming: fashion, laws, rules. Is this what Paul's talking about? Are we supposed to not stand in line if we follow Jesus? Are we not supposed to wave back at people because we follow? Not exactly. Paul writes that we must no longer be conformed to the world. The word world is used in the New Testament to refer to the kind of a world system. Otherwise we think, why does Paul hate the earth? Because he keeps talking about he hates the world. Or to put it more simply, the way of the world is the way that every human being lives by default. It's the way we live without thinking about why we're doing it. Sometimes people have read this and Paul and responded by having nothing to do with being part of the world. Christians moving into the desert, or living up in a tree, or living in separate from different things. Do not conform to the patterns of this world has always stuck out to me, because there's still a Christian clothing company that has this name called Not of This World. I was taught this idea growing up, and that Christians are called to be not of this world. But that was confusing, because every day I would wake up and I would be in the world each moment of each day. Whether it was intentional or not, somehow it gave me the impression that the world's not good and Christians have nothing to do with it. But that's not what Paul's talking about at all. Paul is writing, and he's talking to Gentile Christians in Rome and saying, I know you go on the Via Appia, and you go to the Forum, you go to the Colosseums, you go to the marketplaces. You are Christians, but still Romans, and living not in heaven, but on earth. Paul knows that being a Christian is about being followers of Jesus, but he knows that we don't do this in a vacuum, we don't do it in solitude, but as we live our daily lives, wherever our daily lives find us. The Apostle John described this worldly way of living as, in 1 John 2:16, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life. And this is all done by instinct. We're taught somewhere along the way to chase those things and pursuits of happiness, meaning. Marketing of products is built on these very ideas, like the car commercial, maybe around Christmas time, right, where the husband and wife, and the wife wakes up and there's no Christmas presents under the tree and she doesn't know what's going on, and he says, go outside, and then she goes outside, and what is it? The car, right? A brand new Lexus or BMW, and it's got the big red bow on it, you know? When I see that commercial, I try to turn it off before my wife or anybody else I'm related to can see that, and my wife wouldn't want that anyway, but it's still that idea of like, oh, that's what a good husband is supposed to do, right? That's marketing. It's making me feel like I'm supposed to conform to this way of the world. But Paul says if you start to follow Jesus, and these are the things that you're pursuing, then you're being a cultural chameleon. You blend in. You're not changing the world around you. You can't tell where the world ends and where you begin. But Paul tells us to abandon the chase for these things, for pleasure, possessions, and status, to stop living like everyone else, stop conforming to the culture and the world around us. The word that is translated conformed has to do with confirmation that is malleable, changeable, conforming that can change from day to day, year to year. The person who is conformed to the world is free to embrace the next popular philosophy, the next fad. Being conformed to this world is rather like being a leaf that's blown by the wind, never knowing where you're going next or why, but you're just there for the ride. So like the chameleon, whatever we come up against, we start to look more and more like. This happens in many parts of our life, and we may know people who, that's like something comes in and they love it, or maybe a diet, right? The next diet, the diet fad, and they kind of go along with whatever, you know, the South Beach into the next one, and it's opposite of what they've done. But Paul and Jesus warn us over and over again that if we seek the patterns of the world, it will turn us against each other. It'll turn us against other people. It will lead us to abandon justice, refuse mercy for those who need it. We will blend in so well that we don't have a voice to speak out against these things. In the gospel narratives, it's the Pharisees who are the chameleons. They blended right into the culture, and they liked the fact that they blended in so well. They were supposed to be the ones following God, but they ended up excluding instead of embracing. Jesus was very countercultural. He threw this system every chance he got. You saw this in the way he treated the perceived people of low value in that culture. Look no further than the way Jesus over and over again treats women, tax collector, prostitutes, Gentiles. Now, a chameleon or conformers would look at the values that the world holds up and says, yes, this is the system and values that I hold to. So knowing that, and we want to follow Jesus, how do we not be chameleons? How can we be caterpillar/butterflies? Leo Tolstoy says, everybody thinks of changing humanity, and nobody thinks of changing himself. Well, Paul says, in order to do this, we simply must be transformed by the power of God. We need to be something completely different from inside out. The word that is translated transformed is very different than being conformed. It involves being from the very essence of the core of one's being. If being conformed leaves us adrift like a leaf, being transformed leaves us with our feet grounded, anchored, and steady. Paul's calling us not to be caught up in every fad or wafted by every breeze, but instead let the Spirit transform us at our core so that we can have faith strong enough to maintain the course in spite of the winds of opinion, popular opinion, and our learned values. Paul urges us to be transformed from the inside out. Specifically, he writes that we must change how we think, to have minds that are renewed so that we can begin to understand God's will for our lives. The word metamorpho, the Greek for transform, occurs only three times in the whole New Testament: Matthew 17, Romans 12, and 2 Corinthians 3:18. So it's not a word that the writers of the New Testament used much. It's a powerful word. And as we think about it, transformation, we have to come back to this animal. The shining example of transformation is, and this morning was perfect, I don't know who was outside, but there was a butterfly that landed on the bush. I couldn't have paid for a better intro. So I was hoping to have butterflies swarm everybody in church, but it was really expensive, and turns out a lot of stuff couldn't do it. But the idea, if you want to think about transformation, there's nothing more clear in nature than caterpillar, right? We've started collecting, since we moved here, we collect caterpillars, we find caterpillars, we get so excited because we carefully take the caterpillars, we put them into a thing, and they turn into the cocoon, right? And as they turn into the cocoon, they come out as butterflies. It's amazing, the change. We kept waiting and waiting, and the shell starts to open, and then these butterflies appear. And we saw what went in, right? We finally take it outside, and the butterfly flies away. But it's really exciting. It's a magical process. Who would think that a little chubby little caterpillar that's stuck to like about maybe 3 or 4 feet of ground all of a sudden has this ability to fly and it has these beautiful wings? When Paul speaks of transformation in our lives, we have to think of butterflies. It's still, like I said, hard to believe that the caterpillar and the butterfly, it's the same creature. It's not a new creature. It's the same one, but it's been radically transformed. And it isn't a magic trick where the chubby caterpillar goes in and a butterfly from another dimension comes out, which is maybe a way to explain it. Butterfly is in that caterpillar the whole time along. The potential of being the butterfly is in the caterpillar the whole time it's doing its caterpillar thing. The caterpillars do it without thinking. It's just a cycle in their lives. But for Christians, transformation is not as simple as that. It's a choice to enter into the process, and it is God working on our hearts and minds. And that brings it about. And Paul says, we do this in order to know the will of God, to know what God thinks about things, to follow God more closely, to be more like Jesus in our thinking. The fancy theological word for this is sanctification. It means we are more and more holy, more and more like Jesus. But that is what we need in order to live this life of faith that God has called us to. So any caterpillars out there who want to be butterflies? Any hands? Let's see. Oh, whoa, two hands. It's okay. Paul says the key to this is that we need our minds renewed, new minds so that we can be transformed. In order to do this, we have to start looking at our lives from this moment on and going forward very differently than we have before. Paul urges us to give our bodies as living sacrifices. Living sacrifices, that's kind of confusing, right? The whole point of I've never sacrificed anything, but the idea of a sacrifice is the living thing gets sacrificed and it's not alive anymore, right? This is a language that we don't hear a lot in our churches. We don't have an altar in our church. We have a table, right? Did anyone bring a fatted calf or a goat this morning to sacrifice at church? If you did, you should go get it out of your car. No, right? We don't usually bring animals to sacrifice. So what does Paul mean that we are supposed to be living sacrifices? I think being a living sacrifice is where the traffic of everyday life and spirituality meet. It's offering God the wholeness, totality of our lives, our plans, our activities, our bodies, everything about us. It means living in such a way that everything that we have, everything that we are, is offered up to God. This renewed mind sees all things in our life differently in light of this fact. It's the moving out of the driver's seat of our life and letting God take the wheel, so to speak. This is hard. It's a difficult thing to relinquish control of our lives and let God mold and shape us into something new, even when we know that the end product is so beautiful. But in doing this and in reacting and seeing the world in this way, transformed, we don't like chameleons blend in anymore. We, by the very act of submitting and giving all the things we see in the world and claim as valuable up to God, even control of our life, we don't blend in to the wall or the stone, but like butterflies of radiant color, we contrast so strongly against the world around us that it's almost too much for the world to handle, the way seeing the beauty of the butterfly is. As we live in the shadow of this great and wonderful and powerful God, a God so big and so different, yet a God who loves us and forgives us and wants such strong connection with us, knowing that God's heart is bent and tilted toward us and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, this inspires us. This is the reasons why we want to live as living sacrifices for God. A God who loves us so much and whose mercy is beyond anything we know and deserve. This is the manner of transformation that God wants us to go through, to be bodies as living sacrifices to him. And when we make this our choice as believers in the community, the world will know that we are Jesus' disciples because we love one another. So conformers or transformers? Chameleons or caterpillar / with the potential for butterfly? When we start looking at the day-to-day life around us and the systems of evil, how do we know that we are moving in this way? How do we know if we are caterpillars or are we on our way to butterflies? When we start looking at the day-to-day life around us, the systems of evil really bother us more than they did before. Injustice for one becomes injustice for all. Mercy, compassion become our default response to those whom we come in contact with. We see the way of the world and wonder, why do people value those things? Or we didn't realize that we did before, but now we see things so much clearer in a better and different way. That the values and goals that we once had grow dim in the light of serving and loving and living for God. Paul exhorts, begs, pleads for us not to conform to the pattern of the world. And there's no greater proof than this than Paul. Paul is living proof that we can do this and be this. Paul was radically transformed. And he's writing these words. He was a man who was such a cultural chameleon that he killed Christians in the name of his faith. He was transformed on the road to Damascus by the power and grace of God. So brothers and sisters, let us heed this, hear this, and this week take steps. Be intentional about being in our day-to-day lives, not chameleons, not the ones that blend in with the good and the bad of the world, but instead let's seek to be brave together, to allow God to mold, shape, and change us into butterflies who, floating and flying, we reflect with brightened wings not the world but colors and shapes, and show the world the possibilities abound if we're grounded in God's love and who is the Lord of all creation. Amen.